Desi Arnaz, the man who invented television, Todd Purdom, the author of this book, I have in my hands at the very moment. Welcome to WGN, Todd.
Delighted to be here. Thank you, Steve.
All right. So you've written lots of different books, but the focus of most seems to be in one way or another about history and or about politics. Why did you choose Desi Arnaz?
Well, because he's actually a great figure of history, and in some ways, politics, too. This story of his life is not only about a wonderful entertainer and a very large character, but it's a pioneering story about the transformation of television in the 1950s, from its early days to maturity. And I had written a book in 2018 about the partnership of Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein, the great musical theater songwriting team.
Sure.
And in 2020, I found myself involuntarily liberated from my job at The Atlantic, where I mostly wrote about politics during the pandemic, and I was looking for a project. And if you'll recall, that was a moment in our culture when there seemed to be an impulse to reexamine people who might not have gotten adequate scrutiny or credit in their day. The New York Times was running a whole series of obituaries called Overlooked, about people who had not been adequately celebrated. And I thought Desi's story might land in the culture in an effective way. And I'm glad that all 5 years later, the book is here.
Lucille Ball herself did all she could at times to give him credit for what he did. And she was very present on the scene throughout, almost toward the end of her life, getting award after award and that she went on with a couple of other television series. Desi Arnaz didn't kind of get those accolades, but she did try, for the most part, to steer those accolades toward him, some of which include, and you'll fill in any I'm not thinking of here, the notion of using a live audience for a television show, because he thought Lucy performed better in front of a live audience, in part, using the three-camera technique, still used in any sitcom or many sitcoms you see today. The whole idea of a made-for-TV movie came from him. And I'm sure I'm forgetting some things as well.
Those are all good. Those are all true. Television in the beginning did have live audiences as the way radio did. It was almost completely a live medium. But the problem was it couldn't be preserved. There was no videotape. The only way to preserve a television program was to film it off a TV monitor, a video monitor, which produced a very poor replica called a kinescope that could not be improved. The picture quality was not very good. So it was Desi's idea, together with a team of experts that he helped recruit, to film I Love Lucy on 35mm film the way a motion picture would be filmed, but instead of using a single camera and multiple setups over and over again, you know, so they'd have to have a separate shoot for the action and the reaction, they used three cameras at once to capture the spontaneity of the comedy. And that's one of the reasons that almost 75 years later, it all still looks so fresh and alive.
Yeah, and why do you think it is that I'm even talking to you? Here's what I mean. All these years after both of them have passed away now, we are still talking about Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz and I Love Lucy and the folklore, if you will, that went along with it. You mention in the book, Desi Arnaz, the man who invented television, about just 2 years ago, I believe it was, being the Ricardos with Nicole Kidman and Javier Vadim, if I said that right, played Desi Arnaz. And then there was Amy Poehler's documentary, which probably was better in many ways than the movie. But nevertheless, there was that. And both people saw these things. What is it that there is still today a fascination?
Yeah, I think, Steve, they have a timeless appeal. The I Love Lucy show, you would never know from watching it. It started in 1951, that Harry Truman was the president, that the Korean War was going on, that we were worried about maybe nuclear Armageddon. It's as eternal as Greek comedy. The plots of the shows are about love and jealousy and friendship and envy and career ambition and disappointment. And really, it's like it's about the human condition. So it doesn't age. Now, there are some attitudes about men and women that seem somewhat dated, I suppose. But basically, it's about the situations we all might experience in our lives. And it seems seems very alive and fresh, and that's, you know, it's still streaming on Paramount Plus.
What Lucy told me, and then we'll come back after the break, and I want to talk about the other side of Desi Arnaz. But what Lucille Ball once told me is the reason why we filmed it in front of a live audience is we actually, and maybe you heard this as well, wanted to preserve something for our. We had no idea this would be going on for years, but at that time we had no idea about reruns. He pretty much invented the rerun too, but we had no idea about any of this, that it would be a success or not. We thought we'd have something to show our kids one day, like home movies.
No, I mean, in some ways, it amounts to the home movies of wish fulfillment, the way life might have actually, they hope it turned out, in the same way that The West Wing is kind of a fantasy version of politics. I Love Lucy is a hopeful version of how real life might have turned out. Desi Arnaz Jr. told me, you know, the show was about tension and conflict. They almost hurt each other every Monday night, but then they pulled back, and, you know, it all ended with hugs at the end. That isn't the way it always worked in real life. But one of the fun things about writing nonfiction is that we now know that I Love Lucy became an iconic, legendary program. As you say, at the time, they didn't know that. They were doing their job and trying to keep their marriage together and have a family and live in Los Angeles, and it was a very practical kind of a thing that no one knew they were creating something that's going to last for the ages.
Yeah, that's why they did the show in the first place. I mean, he was on the road, and Lucy said, I want another child, and you can't do that long distance, is what she told me, and I suppose you can't. Todd Purdom will be back with us. Desi Arnaz, the man who invented television, but there was a personal side, of course, to Ricky Ricardo, and that's what we'll talk about when we come back. I Love Lucy, a huge, huge hit. It's hard to explain to folks, and I'll let you do it, how big Desi Lu, the production company that produced I Love Lucy and ultimately many other shows, and they were a landlord of sorts for all these programs, how big they were in entertainment at the time.
Well, yeah. I mean, by the end of the 1950s, Desi Lu had become the largest producer of television content in the country and thus in the world, and it had all started from I Love Lucy. And the germ of that empire was that when CBS said filming the show would cost more money, Desi said he and Lucy were willing to take a weekly pay cut because in their high tax bracket it wouldn't make that big a difference in after-tax income if he could own the films, if he could own the negatives of the show. And nobody quite foresaw the value for repeat airings of those episodes at the time. Ultimately, CBS bought them back for something around $5 million in 1956. And the following year, that was the seed money that Desi and Lucy used to buy the old RKO studios in Hollywood, which made them the largest physical motion picture production plant, larger than MGM or Warner Brothers or Paramount or 20th Century Fox. And then they became the landlord or the producer, or they provided production services for a whole range of other shows, including Danny Thomas's, Andy Griffith, Dick Van Dyke. And as you noted, they had a two-part special episode that amounted to a television movie of what became The Untouchables in 1959, and that was a smash series about Prohibition-era Chicago, starring Robert Stack as the crime-busting Treasury agent, Prohibition agent Elliot Ness. And it was really, you know, it was a remarkable achievement.
All of that, it was a remarkable achievement, and some would say that Desi Arnaz was the perfect straight man, and actually a pretty darn good actor. He obviously knew how to build a business. He was incredibly creative. Everyone said, by all accounts, he was a good boss, because if you did your job, he then celebrated the job you did. All of that, you'd think, oh my gosh, what could go wrong? But some things did go wrong with him personally.
Yes, he, through some combination of the pressures of success, the scale of the business, the competing demands on his time, and I think kind of unprocessed, undealt with childhood trauma, because his family had been forced to flee Cuba in 1933 when the government there was overthrown. It had become corrupt and repressive, came to Florida with nothing in their pockets. Desi developed a terrible problem with alcohol, and he also had a compulsive sort of womanizing problem. So really, today we would probably call it a sex addiction. And both of those things combined to distract him from, you know, performance of his duties, and ultimately led to the breakup of his marriage with Lucille. And it's just a tragedy that at the moment, at the peak of his success, these self-destructive behaviors undermined his achievement.
Lucy told me once, and I'm paraphrasing, that her make-believe life was the best, meaning on set as Lucy Ricardo. Not the best, though, as Lucy, L-U-C-Y, Arnaz.
Yes. Yes, I think it was a very happy set until the very end, when Lucy and Desi's marriage was so broken that they didn't get along to each other on the set. They'd, you know, sort of say, would you tell Miss Ball to do this? You ask Mr. Arnaz to do that. But the production of I Love Lucy was very happy. And throughout her life, as I'm sure you know from your own interviews with her, one of the thing that gave Lucille the most satisfaction was incredibly hard work.
Yes.
And in retirement, when she was frustrated by lack of, you know, creative energy, and she didn't have a show to do anymore, she would compulsively clean the house, and she became a demon Scrabble and backgammon player and filled her time partly that way. But she craved hard work. That was relaxing for her. And so I think doing the show was very satisfying. Living her life was harder.
You know, Lucille Ball, yes, as you point out, loved the hard work. She lived, it seemed, to work greatly. Desi Arnaz wasn't necessarily that way. She said that the greatest thing that could happen to her, that would break her, would be to be publicly humiliated. And he repeatedly publicly humiliated her because his dalliances, is that a real word, got into the news, and she was embarrassed. In some ways, I don't think he wanted to do harm to her at all. So in some ways, was there a cultural difference here?
Yes, I think the problem was that he was raised in a Latin culture in Cuba in which both his father and grandfather had mistresses outside their marriage. His grandfather had a whole second family with a kind of parallel wife and children. And Desi, to the end of his life, argued that, you know, his dalliances meant nothing. They didn't undermine his love for Lucy. That just was the right of a Latin man to follow his instincts and his libido where they took him. And Lucy was never down with that, but she could tolerate it when it happened discreetly and privately. What happened toward the end of their marriage was that Desi's behavior had become so public. He was arrested for public drunkenness in a neighborhood of bordellos in Hollywood. It became such an open secret that he was doing this that it, as you said, was humiliating to her, and she just couldn't take it. And she felt the children had seen and heard too much fighting, and that they wouldn't, you know, benefit from that. And it's just very sad. But then the good news is that after they got divorced, a great deal of the tension went out of their relationship. Lucy continued to seek his advice on business and other matters. They came together to take care of their children, to, you know, stay in touch with their children's lives. And, you know, just as Desi was dying, Lucy went to visit him and talked with him on the phone, and they repeated they were the great loves of each other's life. There's no doubt about that.
Well, you're answering my next question. So she was actually married to Gary Morton, her second husband, longer than she was married to Desi Arnaz. Desi Arnaz remarried a lady by the name of Edie. I don't remember her last name.
Hirsch was her last name.
Thank you very much. And seemingly, at least it was better than the first one, though not perfect. So do you think, even though what I just said is true, that the real love of each other's lives, even though they couldn't get along and it was so explosive so often,
his
drinking problem, you know what I'm about to ask, were they each other's big loves?
I think they really were. And I think it was one of those relationships where they couldn't be together and they couldn't be apart. I mean, they never could quite break the tie. Something extraordinary had happened to them. They fell in love very quickly, very intensely. Lucy was 6 years older than Desi. They'd each had, she had dislocations and trauma in her own childhood. Her father died before she was 4 years old. She was moved around to a bunch of relatives growing up. She had a lot of love from her family, but she also had a lot of unhappiness in her life. And I think probably to some degree that they weren't able to articulate to each other in that, you know, era, they probably instinctively each knew the pain, some of the pain that the other had undergone. And I think they were physically attracted to each other from the very beginning, and I think they had a wonderful kind of... They knew that they had created something in I Love Lucy that was bigger than either of them, better than anything they ever did on their own before or after, something that was held, you know, as precious by the world at large. And I think they were very proud of having done that. And it was some kind of combination that was, you know, lightning in a bottle. I think they both knew that very much.
I remember that when Desi Arnaz appeared on the David Letterman show, and the crowd went crazy. The cameras didn't turn around, but I believe everyone was standing. And in those days, standing ovations only happened when, quote unquote, deserved, not for every guest.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said when he sat down, "We love when we get that reception." There was no "we." He was referring to himself and Lucille Ball. At that point, they had been divorced for many years. Was that "we" always in the back of his mind, do you think?
I think so. There's a famous story when Lucy tripped on a cable in the soundstage one day during the making of I Love Lucy. And he said, "Watch out, fellas. Anything happens to her, we're all in the shrimp business." He knew very much how crucial her contribution was to the show. He once said, "Give her 90% of the credit for the show's success." But as you noted, Steve, in the beginning of the interview, Lucy was careful always, except sometimes when she got grumpy, but she was always very careful to say that Desi was the driving force behind getting the show on the air, keeping it there, making it a success, handling the business end of things. And she never hesitated to make sure the public knew how important he had been.
Indeed. I could spend another half hour easily with you, or you could pick up the book, friends. Desi Arnaz, The Man Who Invented Television. Todd Purdom, the author of that book, thank you so much for joining us today.